This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and about 15 minutes in focus on technology. Ann Thompson looks at GE Aviation's efforts to find efficient ways to provide electrical power for next-generation aircraft, all while making sure you can watch that onboard TV. Right now, though, we're talking about the Ulster Project and its approach to helping reduce the tensions in Ireland. Jennifer King is with Ulster Project Cincinnati. Also, Emily Hollis and Lexi Hodge, they've just returned from a trip to Northern Ireland. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, emailing talk at wvxu.org, or finding us on Facebook or Twitter. And Randy is joining us from downtown. Randy, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
And what's your comment?
Well, I had two questions, one for the younger girls, Lexi and Emily, and actually I'll assume both of you are Irish, right, or Irish descent?
I have some.
I'm not really sure.
Okay, quick question based on an earlier conversation. I think it came from Jennifer with regards to the influence of the youth, your contemporaries, Emily and Lexi. How much does social media influence, you know, the youth in Northern Ireland, be it Catholic or Protestant or apathetic, with regards to, you know, their current views? Because I'm sure it can radicalize them, or I'm sure it can pacify them, and I'm, you know, do you see that this specific topic is being addressed in social media, be it Twitter, Facebook, at all?
I would say not really, because I know, I mean, I'm just saying that from what I see. I'm friends with a lot of them on Facebook, and I follow a lot of them on Twitter. And I would say that that's not an everyday conversation between the younger kids. And I, like I said earlier, I think that a lot of the kids there are just kind of over it until, you know, it gets brought back up again. But I don't think it gets, like, so far as to where they take it on Twitter and Facebook. I think a lot of them try not to worry about it because, I mean, they're kids, so they just don't really care.
On the other hand, though, the parents and the newspaper and the news, I stayed in a Protestant home while I was there, and like we were saying, the 12th was going on. And the news makes the 12th look a lot worse than what it really is, to almost make it look against the Protestants more than what actually happened when we were there. Yes, bad things happen. Yes, there are riots. But the news and the newspaper with the adult side of it do make it look a lot worse than what's really happening.
So what you're saying is they sensationalize it, which I will assume that the electronic component, be it Twitter or whatever, will do the same thing. So are there outside influences that they're exposed to, not themselves, that influence their that influences their opinions?
Yeah, totally. I would say that a lot of their opinions come from things that they get from the outside, because all of these kids that are of our age in that country were not born at this time, and they have no idea what it really was like back when the troubles first started.
So
I would say that a lot of it comes from the outside influence.
Randy, thank you much for your questions. They were very good.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
We have a question that Mike called in. I think Jennifer was discussing this earlier. We're talking about how the kids go to separate schools. And the question was, well, isn't that pretty much the way it is in the United States, though?
It's similar, but it's not exactly the same. Here we have Catholic private schools. I don't know if there are any private Protestant schools or not, but generally you would not have to be Catholic in order to go to a private Catholic school in Cincinnati. I don't think so, at least. However, over there, they do have schools that are strictly Catholic or strictly Protestant. Sometimes they're separated boys or girls. Sometimes they have mixed schools for boys and girls. There are a few very elite schools that are known as the Royal Schools that are very old, and those will have boys and girls in them. However, they're primarily Protestant school.
So, Jennifer, about a dozen teens, they come to Cincinnati in July. What's it like for them? How does that all work?
It's a very competitive selection process for them in Northern Ireland. They are considered to be cream of the crop kids. They're chosen for their leadership potential. And I think there were over 100 who applied this year for 12 spots. And they come to Cincinnati, and we are also doing recruiting on our side to look for 12 American families who would have a teenager that would match we would match them up the same gender and the same faith background. So if you were a Cincinnati family and you had a Protestant boy, we're generally looking for families where the kids have just finished ninth grade. So the ideal age would be anywhere from 14 to 16 years old. And we would match you up. If you had a Protestant boy, we would put a Protestant boy from Northern Ireland in your home for the month. And all 24 teens, the 12 American and the 12 Northern Irish, participate for the whole month in social activities, team building exercises, service projects. It's a very busy month, and the kids all bond together, and they hate to say goodbye at the end of the month.
So they're here right now.
They're here right now. They arrived June 26th, and they're leaving this coming Friday morning.
Now, is this project open to everyone, or do families have to be of Irish descent to take part in this?
You do not have to be of Irish descent, although many are, and, you know, just because they're interested. So no, you don't have to be Irish or British.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. If you'd like to join our conversation, again, the phone number is 513-419-7100. Lexi and Emily, talk some more about your experiences when you were there. How do you feel this benefited you personally to see this?
I think a lot of it was that we actually got to see it in real life. It wasn't just stories that we were hearing, you know, at sleepovers when they were over here. And we actually got to experience, you know, seeing the both sides, the Catholic and the Protestant side. And we got to, you know, see our own Irish teens in their, like, own environment. And we got to see what it is like every day. And I know when we were there, we were visiting in Belfast. And a couple days later, there was some violence going on in Belfast. So it was just really, I thought it was really awesome to see, you know, we got to see all these beautiful things. We got to see the Giant's Causeway and rope bridges and all that. But we also got to see, you know, the real life conflict that is still happening and that is continuing to get better every day.
I think the trip also, like, helped open your eyes by seeing that, because you can hear the stories and the violence. You can hear that all you want to hear it. But when you go over there and you see it and then you come home, you realize not only how lucky are you not to live in that, but then it makes you want to help more, and it makes you want to see what else you can do for that country and for those teens and even the kids that are going to be stuck in this when they're older and understand. And even with all the beauty that Ireland has, it can be covered up by some of the riots or the violence or even just the talk of, well, this person's Catholic and this person's Protestant. And that can cover up some of the beauty that Ireland and Northern Ireland have.
Jennifer, a question from somebody via email. They're asking, what specific insight about America does Cincinnati offer to teens from Northern Ireland?
That's a toughie. I'm not sure how to answer that one.
Are we a pretty good reflection of America as a whole? And, you know, Cincinnati, I think, has that melting pot feel to it. I mean, we have the German influence, the Irish influences here. It's a very immigrant driven city in some ways, based on its past history.
It does. I think we're friendly people, you know, Midwest city. So we're open and warm and welcoming, and most people are very excited about hosting a teen in their home and looking forward to the cross-cultural experience and without the language barrier to have to worry about.
Okay. Well, we've got Joseph calling from Greensburg, Indiana. Good afternoon, Joseph. What's your comment? So I think we've lost Joseph there. He wanted to find out how to get involved in the project specifically. And also curious as to whether you've been to Northern Ireland.
I've been to Northern Ireland 4 times. I wish I could live there. It's beautiful. You can get involved. You can apply online on our website. And I think WVXU is going to put a link to our website there. Ulster Project Cincinnati. And you can, if you have a teen that you would like to be involved, the teen can apply online. And like I said before, it happens every July. So we're looking for teenagers between the ages of 14 and 16, boys and girls, Catholic or Protestant. It is a Christian-based or nonprofit organization. And it's a lot of fun.
As you two will yeah. attest to, correct?
Yeah. So it's probably one of the better things, one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I will definitely always remember it.
And Jennifer Pete, our producer, is saying that we do indeed have a link on our website
Great.
If people want
you.
To learn more about the Ulster Project. And host families, you know, we know how the you guys have benefited. Do your families feel the same way? Do they say this was a great experience?
Yeah, I remember like before I left to go to Ireland, and my dad was talking about how it was like so cool to like, even though like he didn't get to see Allison as much as he like I did, he was just talking about how much he really enjoyed, you know, hearing her funny stories and listening to the funny things she says, and like watching her and I become sisters. And you know what? And he was talking about how, and my mom too. They both were talking about how it was really cool to watch Allison become like part of our family, and how she like bonded with my two other sisters, and how it was like she was not even from a different country. So it was. I know that my mom and dad they loved it, and it was really cool to watch us all grow.
I know also with not only with my parents, but I have three younger siblings, and they became very close with my girl, Sarah Jane, and then now one of my brothers is doing it this year, and he has two teens from Ireland, and my younger two siblings have become really close with them, and I know it's helped them to want to do this one day, and you know, maybe if they visit, they'd want to see all of ours you just become so close with everyone, whether you're a grandparent, aunt, a sibling, I mean, it just, and it's taught them at a young age what's going on.
It sounds like it was a fantastic experience for both of you and your families.
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer, is the project having an impact? Are you getting a lot of success stories like these? Are you hearing that this is really helping people make a better connection with each other?
I think it definitely is. In fact, there was a woman who did a study. I think she's from the University of Louisville, who went over to Northern Ireland and did a survey, a psychological study of kids who had gone through the project, and she was accumulating data that did indicate that it was making a real difference.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon. Jennifer King is Ulster Project Cincinnati Board President. Also, we had Emily Hollis and Lexi Hodge.
Thank you for having us.
You're
very
you,
welcome.
Yeah.
Enjoy talking to you.